Very good. We want to say hello to everybody watching online and everybody watching in North County. God bless y'all. Let's give them a hand. God bless y'all. And I also want to say thank you to everybody who was involved yesterday in Toys for Joy, all the staff, all the volunteers, all the thousands of people that put that on. Amen. I think it's 2,730 people responded to the gospel, and that's the best part about all that happened yesterday. All the food, all the clothes, all the toys was great, but all the souls that went to the kingdom, that was even better. So let's give those people a hand. Amen. If you were not involved, I can't encourage you enough to get involved and do something here at the church, because those kind of experiences that change your life and make all the Bible study and all the prayer and all the church stuff real, okay? This is only a part of the whole process. So if you were involved, you knew how much a great time you had. You can be involved all the time. We have stuff going on every day, 7 days a week. Matter of fact, yesterday there were about 10,000 people who came from the community. Our outreach ministries minister to more than that every month in San Diego, all over San Diego. So there's plenty of stuff here to do. It's amazing. I don't even know half of it. It's unbelievable. So get involved and do something. Amen? And I have one request of you, and this just came after the 12 o'clock service. I met with a guy today who has spent much of his life in prison. He was involved in gang life for all his life. He's 43 years old, and he says, I want to have a life, you know. And he was tearing up, and he's been a player in that world, and he gave his life to the Lord here a month or so ago, and he was like a little kid. You know, it's like, I just want to walk with God. I can't believe I meet you. I'm like, brother, I'm nobody, okay? You the man, you know, in that world. He can't read. Can't read. Completely illiterate. So I said, we're going to help you read. So here's the deal. We do not have a literacy ministry here at this church. And there are a lot of people who cannot read, especially if you go to prison. A great majority of those guys cannot read. Give them a Bible, they can't read it. They get out, they can't read, can't fill out an application. And so I want to ask if there's people in here who you teach people how to read. And I'm talking about zero. They don't know nothing about reading. You have to be prepared for absolutely nothing, but they're grown people. We would love for you to start a literacy ministry. There may be somebody in this room, people in this room right now who can't read that well. I grew up, I was not a reader. I didn't like reading either. And I can read now a little bit. I mean, I'm not illiterate, but I get it. And so if any of you, and I'm not talking about someone who you teach English and you think you can help, because that may be that may make it worse for them, because it'll be frustrating for you. But you are trained and you know how to teach people how to read. And if you want to learn, that you learn from somebody. But we have a lot of people we can help if we can help them teach them how to read. So here's what you're going to do. Anybody interested in that, by the way? Anybody know how to do that? Yes, you know how to do that? No, I'm right here. Did you raise your hand? You know how to teach people how to read? You work with? Very good. So you teach people how to read? You know how to teach people how to read? Good, good. Okay, anybody else? And by the way, North County, raise your hand if you know how to somebody read. We want you to get involved too. Anybody else? Who else? I'm recruiting right now. You know how to teach people how to read? Yes, very good. Anybody else? Very good, very good. Okay, we have pictures of you. This video here, we got you. We do really can see you, but we're not going to snap you right now. But here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to call the church and get in touch with Tommy. And if you're in North County or if you're online and you're in San Diego, to call the church and get in touch with Tommy. Tommy's the one who oversees all the outreach ministries. Pastor Tommy, and he's going to get that going, okay? Because we want to help some guys read, all right? Amen? That'll be very good. That'll be very good. Okay, this right here is the permit to start construction on our East County church right here. Here it is right here. Now, this year we started a campaign called Pervasive Hope. We raised $20 million in pledges to do four things. Global evangelism, online church, reduce the debt in this mortgage, and start churches around San Diego. And our first two that we wanted to focus on was refinancing this building, so we got to pay down our mortgage so we can get a new loan, and start construction on that building. Now we have the building permit, we can start. Our goal was to raise $11 million cash to do those two things. By the end of this year, or whenever we get it, end of this year would be great, which is 3 weeks from now. Newsflash. We've raised just under $6 million of that 11, so we just need just over $5 million. So next week, we're going to have a special offering. And what I mean by special, we're going to take one offering, but we're just encouraging people to put that extra Pervasive Hope capital campaign money in the envelope next week. And we want to get to that 11 by the end of the year. Now, the bank who is offered to refinance our building, they're looking at our tithes income and our Pervasive Hope money at the same time. And they say, we will refinance if you meet these numbers on your regular giving and your Pervasive Hope money, your offering. And so they're watching us every week. Well, they're going to see the report for every week, what we give. And they're going to look at what happens by the end of the year. So that's why we've been talking about it and every week trying to get to the end of the year strong. We also want to start construction. So next week we're going to have a special offering. If you could pray about what you would want to do, we want to get $5 million a little plus by the end of the year, which would be fantastic. Can God do it? In his sleep, even though he don't sleep. All people need to do is just pray about what God tells you to do, and we'll be good. Amen? Amen. Very good. Let's see you. Oh, by the way, if you were new or you weren't here last week, we take our offerings after the service. So when you leave at the exits, they have this box, these offering boxes that are at all the exits, and all we're going to do is drop it in. Okay, so we'll just do that at the end. Okay, let's see your Bibles. Hey, that was weak. Let's run through one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. And as you turn there, let me also remind you that in January, third week or so, we are going to start a 40-day fast. How many of you have never been on a 40-day fast? How many of you would be interested in joining us on a 40-day fast? Okay, and let me explain what that means. It doesn't mean you have to eat nothing for 40 days. You can if you want to, but you'll probably die. You're going to give something up. You can fast TV if you want, but I would encourage you to fast something that goes in your mouth as consumption for calories. You can fast coffee. Druggies! How many of y'all have to start your day with coffee? Most of you are addicted to caffeine, and that is a bad thing. God would love for you to be addicted to him. Breaks God's heart that you need coffee to start your day, but you don't need God. So let your mind chew on that one. We will talk about those kind of things over and over again. But so you just think about it. You can fast sweets. Okay, how many of y'all have a sweet tooth? Fast bread, whatever it is, or you could say, you know what, I'm gonna do juices and water. Whatever you want to do, you could do part of it, part of it. We'll talk about all those kind of options. The reason I'm telling you now is I want you to start wrapping your brain around and get mentally prepared, because it is a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. It ain't no big deal. It's not a big deal physically. You will feel better than you ever felt physically in your life. I promise you, I've done it twice. You will feel better than you ever have. It's here. It's in your head. So, but the point is not to eat food. The point is to put that aside so you can spend time with God, so God can do something supernatural in your life. That's the point. So just get ready for that mentally. I just want to tell you that so you can get ready for that, because we would love a bunch of y'all to do it. And then we're also going to have our 90-day tithe challenge. If you haven't heard about this, we're going to give you, especially if you're not a tither, we're going to challenge you to tithe for 90 days. And after 90 days, you're not satisfied, we will give you all your money back. That's a good deal. I mean, get your money back. You can say, I faithfully tithe for 90 days, faithfully, and I'm not satisfied. We'll just say, well, we'll have a record of what you gave, because we're going to sign you up, and then we'll give you money back. Okay? It's not going to be like you're going to come back after 90 days and say, yo, man, I gave you $3 million. I ain't happy with my money. It ain't going to happen. We're going to sign you up, and it's going to be good. That'll also rock your world as well. Okay, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for all those souls who got saved yesterday, all those people who got food, clothes, toys, and a smile. Thank you for the opportunity to serve the community. We pray you bless everybody involved. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a young lady in our church named Venencia. She is a teenager. She recently had a birthday in November. For her birthday, she told all her friends and family don't buy me any gifts. I want you to buy toys for the Toys for Joy event. And what makes, and that was a test of God to tell her to do that, because she had to decide, do I obey God and give up this opportunity to get some stuff, or do I not? What makes the test even bigger is that she's Hispanic and she was turning 15. It was a quinceañera. Now, for all of you who don't know what a quinceañera is, it's like our sweet 16. It's like a young girl goes into being a young woman, and they have this big ceremony, wedding dress type deal. Purity, ceremony is part of it, daddy, daughter dance, the big deal. 250 people came. So girlfriend was going to clean up. This is her chance to clean up. And next time she can get this chance is when she gets married, okay? She's 15. So she said, you know, God said to her, I want you to give up all your quinceañera gifts, and I want you to give them away. So she told all her family, all her friends, when you come to my quinceañera, I want you to buy toys for Toys for Joy. And, you know, ooh, that was a test. So I was talking to her. I said, did you get anything? She said, yeah, I got a few things, which is great. But she came in here last Sunday, her and her parents, with 60 toys in garbage bags. Okay? It was a test. God said to her, I want to see if you're going to trust me. Now, we started this series called The Source. Everyone say The Source. We started a series called The Source a couple months ago, and the series is about the fact that God is the source of all good things to us, all blessings to us, that we may in turn be a source of blessings to other people. It doesn't mean everything he gives us we have to give away, but it means that everything he gives us is optional. It's in play. God may give you something you really always wanted, and then him say, I want you to give it away. It's all his. Okay, so the second week we talked about the fact that in order for you to be the source or a source of blessing, you have to be a giver, not a taker. When you come to church, you cannot be a taker. I want my seat. I want my parking space. I want my song. I want my pastor. And if I don't get what I want, I'm mad. That's a taker. You cannot worship God if you are a taker, because worship is giving. You are giving God praise. You are giving God credit. You are giving him thanks. It's not taking. Now, there's a difference between taking and receiving. Taking is getting things or acquiring things on your own terms. Receiving is acquiring things on someone else's terms. We can receive, absolutely. But when you praise, you give. When you come to church, you can receive, but you're not coming to take. We talked about tithing being a giver's starter kit. That's how you just learn how to give. Just tithe 10% and see how that feels. See how God blesses you. Okay, some of y'all just started tithing. I know God has blessed you, and you've seen miracles happen. Okay, matter of fact, a guy just started tithing a few weeks ago, and he got a refinance loan, and he didn't qualify. At least he didn't think he qualified, and he got the loan. He came to me yesterday at Toys for Joy and said, I'm the guy who got the loan. God, I can't believe it. So God says, I want you to tithe, and I want you to understand not only what giving is, but I want you to understand what I do when you're faithful to me with your money. Then we talked about first fruits, how we're supposed to give God our best, not our last, our first, not our last. And then last week we talked about being a source of blessing directly to God when we come to the altar and worship him. Today we're going to talk about being tested. Everyone say test. That God tests you every single day. And a test is a process through which something is revealed. Your faithfulness, your faith in God, your lack of faith in God. So it's through the test that your faithfulness is affirmed or proven negligent. Satan told God, Job is only worshiping you because you bless him, but if you take all his wealth away, he will curse you to your face. And God said, Job will not curse me to my face. Go ahead and take all his wealth. It was a test. God let Satan take all his wealth. Matter of fact, he took all his kids and almost took his life. And Job never cursed God. He passed the test. You and I are tested every single day. You're tested when it comes time to church. Are you going to come to church on time? Well, you know, I'll just come late. Why? You missed the worship. It's a test. God's testing whether you value worship enough to get here on time. You know, it's amazing. So some people who come late, they're always the same amount of time late to everything. How many of y'all are always late? Okay, you're always late. And I bet you're always late about the same amount of time. 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it's always about the same amount of time. Why can't you just be the same amount of time a little earlier? Not real. It's really a mental thing. I am going to be late. You're not attempting to be on time. You're so accustomed to being late. That's what you do. It's subconscious, conscious, right? I'm not going to bring my Bible. It's a test. Are you going to bring your Bible to church? Well, you know, I don't want to have anything in my hands. You're going to bring a pen. Are you going to sing? Are you going to put your hands up in the air? It's a test. And every day, all throughout your day, you are being tested, and God is watching. Now, understand this. God is not testing you so he can learn anything. He already knows. He's testing you so you can learn who you are versus who you think you are. Let's read the story. Abraham's going to be tested. Everyone say Abraham. Says, came to pass after these, verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Everyone say tested. And he said, Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Everyone say Isaac. Say only son. Say whom you love. Then it says, go to the land of Moriah, offer him as a burnt offering. Say burnt offering. On the mountain on which I will show you. Now, a burnt offering was when you took an animal and you killed it, skinned it, cut it in pieces, put it on the altar, and burned it with fire. And say it one more time. It's when you took an animal, you killed it, you skinned it, you cut it in pieces, and you burned it on the fire, just like on the altar. That fire is never going to go out the whole time we're standing here, because the burnt offering altar, the brazen altar, the fire was 24 hours a day. That's what he told him to do with his son. Go up on the mountain, and you're going to kill your son as a burnt offering. He knew what burnt offering meant. Okay, look what it says in verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning. I'm like five sermons ahead of myself or something. I don't know. But Abraham, you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. What happened was I saw S and A, and I just thought about Satan. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and his two young men with him and his son Isaac, and they split the wood for the burnt offering, arose, went to the place of which God had told them, and on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar. Next week, we're going to talk about what it means to have faith, because Abraham is the father of faith, but I'm going to give you a little hint. You can actually measure your faith every day. And here's how you measure your faith. It's very simple. How long does it take you to completely do what God tells you to do? If you do what God tells you to do completely, really quick, you have a lot of faith. If it takes you a long time to do what God tells you to do, you have a little faith. Period. Period. The Bible says Abraham rose early the next day and said, Isaac, we got to go. He didn't sit there and go, burnt offering, God? You must be tripping. I'm not going to kill my son. Why would you tell me to kill my son? Da-da-da. He just said, God, okay. Why? He trusted God. There are a lot of y'all right now, God's telling you to do something, and you're lagging. Well, maybe I'll sign up for that literary ministry. I have 5 degrees in literacy, but I don't know if I'm qualified. You're qualified. Can you say A, B, C, D, E, F, G? You're good. Oh, maybe I'm going to give some money. Oh, maybe I'm going to pray. Maybe I'm going to read my Bible today. Maybe I'm going to bring my Bible to church. I don't know. What are you waiting for? And God has told you to do it. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac. His son actually carried the wood, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac, verse 7, but Isaac spoke to his father and said, my father, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb you're going to cut up and put on that altar and burn him up? Like, you ain't going to kill me, are you? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God told them, and Abraham built the altar and placed the wood in order and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Oh, Isaac said, hey, this is kind of getting warm up here, brother. This ain't no good joke. Abraham stretched out his hand and his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. You better get me now. I'm getting ready to kill my son. And he said, do not lay your hand on your son or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God. For since you have not withheld your son, your only son. Everyone say only son. You have not withheld your only son from me. Three things about every test God will put you through. Number one in your notes. Number one. Your test will be consistent with Jesus' test. In other words, you are never going to be tested in any way that Jesus hasn't been tested. I want to read a verse to you, Hebrews 4:25. This is very important for you to understand. Hebrews 4:15. It says, "We do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need." In other words, in every way you have been tempted and you are tempted, Jesus is tempted. Just think about this. Jesus was born a human. He had at least six siblings. He had four brothers and two sisters, minimum. He had four brothers, we know them by name, and the Bible says he had sisters, plural, so he had at least two sisters. He might have had three, but we know he had at least two. Mary had seven kids. And I know some of that's rocking some of y'all's world because you thought Mary was a virgin. No, Mary and Joe, you know. She was only a virgin up until she had after Jesus. Okay, but she had, so Jesus had six siblings. Jesus had probably little Hebrew honeys after him in elementary, high school. Think about it. He was God. Ladies, have you ever seen a guy and he was like God? This was really the deal. He was really God. He knew everything. That means he's the only man in history to ever completely understand females. Can I get an amen, fellas? Ladies, it took a God to understand you. Give us fellas a break. He knew that when ladies said no, they really meant yes. And when they say yes, they really mean no. Come on now. Thank you. We're preaching now. This is preaching right here. This is God. This is the word of God I'm telling you right now. Ladies, y'all know you do that, right? Ladies, y'all know y'all are very confusing, right? Ladies, do y'all know that you are very hard for us to understand? Yes. Can I get an amen from the ladies? And will you also admit that you do it on purpose? Can I get an amen? Because y'all are evil. You're evil. So Jesus, he pulled out the chair. Actually, he made the chair because he was a carpenter. Then he pulled out the chair. He opened the door. He got their lunch at the cafeteria. He was all hooked up. Their milk was sour. He just went, whew, and it was good. It was good. His disciples, they were always fighting with each other. But were trying to be closest to him. They stabbed him in the back. They denied him. They betrayed him. His own people said, crucify him. The very people he came to die for stabbed him in the back. He'd been there. He's been there. His own brother didn't believe in him. He's been there. His own town where he grew up, they didn't believe in him. He'd been there. So what I'm saying here is that whenever God tests you and you say, God, I can't go through this, he says, I've been there. I've been there. And what's ironic is Abraham could say, but what about me, God? I'm sacrificing my son. The father says, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there too. He says, matter of fact, Isaac, Abraham, didn't you have your son carry the wood up the hill? Yeah, so was my son going to carry his cross too. Then your son was there for how many days did you walk up there? 3 days? My son's going to be there for 3 days. How many guys did you walk up there with, Abraham? Two. My son's going to be crucified with two guys too. By the way, guess what? It's going to be in the same mountains where you are going to sacrifice Isaac that I'm going to sacrifice my son Jesus. So I know what's talking about. So when you say God don't understand, he understands because he gave his only son that he loved just like Abraham had to give his only son that he loved. Same thing. So whatever you're going through now, you have to understand God knows. That's why he says you don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with your weaknesses because he's tempted in every way you were and never sin. Therefore, since God knows, come to him with all your problems. When I was a youth pastor, I had these kids in my neighborhood, Penasquitas, that would come to my house for Bible study. And this one girl hadn't been there in weeks, so I called her up and said, "Where you been?" She says, "Well, I just have some problems." Now I'm thinking, there is no problem that God cannot handle. So where are you going other than to God to get your problems fixed? She said, "Well, God can't handle this one." I said, "You must think you're pregnant." "How did you know?" "Duh." She wasn't pregnant, but I don't know what your problem is. God says, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me." Don't look at the test that God has for you and say, "I can't," because he says you can through me, Christ, who strengthens you. You can. Number two, your test will and is designed to reveal the powerful hand of God. In other words, God's going to put you in a situation for you to do something, and you're going to say, "I can't," and God's going to say, "You cannot on your own, but this is where I come in, and I do something supernatural in your life." How many of you would love to have God do something supernatural in your life? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. You know, here you go. Keep your hand up. Very good, very good. Look around the room. All y'all want something supernatural. Keep, put your hand down. You want to know how? Trust him. Just every time he tells you to do something, just do it. See what happens. That girl who gave the presents, I said, "God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. He has to. He promised he would." So I saw her today. I said, "Has he blessed you yet?" She's like, She actually was here all morning praying for the offering at the end of the offering. She's going to be here the next service. She's not going to be here this service because her brother had something with her family. And she says, "Maybe being here to pray for the offering is my blessing." I says, "Maybe. That's sweet of you to look at it that way. God's going to bless you. He has to." Look what he did. Look at God's powerful hand right here. Look what it says in chapter 22. It says in verse 12, Genesis 22, the angel says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son." Now see where it says, "Now I know"? Everyone say, "Now I know." When the angel is, and this angel of the Lord is Jesus, by the way, when the angel of the Lord says, "Now I know," he's not saying, "Now I have learned something I didn't know." What he's saying is, "Now I have experienced your faithfulness." In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. I'm going to say it again. It says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and then she bore a son. Now, the know doesn't mean they met and said, "How you doing?" and she got pregnant. That's not what that means. To know means to intimately experience. You ever meet somebody, you'll meet somebody one time, and then someone else will ask you, "Do you know them?" And you will say, "I don't know them, but I met them." You don't know them. And then the longer you know somebody or hang out with them, the more you know them. But you don't really know them. That's why I talk to these people who are dating, and they're like, "Oh, he saw this, he saw that, he saw this, he saw that." And they're going to get married or whatever. How long you know them? "Oh, we've known each other for a year." Now, you may think a year's a long time. You don't know that person. Don't even talk about months, please. You don't know them. Come back in 10 years. How many of y'all have known someone for years and then all of a sudden things fall apart? Amen? And you know them for years and you're like, trust me, it takes time. The reason it takes so long, one of the reasons it takes so long to know somebody is because that somebody doesn't even know themselves. If they don't know themselves, how are you going to know them? Because if they don't know themselves, they're not even sharing with you who they are because they don't even know who they are. So whoever you know is not really them because they don't even know them to share you them with you. So what happens is when he says, "I know," he says, "Now I have experienced, Abraham, your faithfulness. I experience you surrendering your only son." But let's keep reading. Look at God's mighty hand. Therefore, look what God says in verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes, and there was behind him caught a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Now, let's think this out now. When you read the Bible, you got to really think. Don't skim over the words real fast, even though I'm talking fast. Think what it's saying. Here's Abraham getting ready to kill his son, and God says, "Abraham, stop." And he looks over, and there's a ram. You know the ram with the horns? And the ram is caught in the bushes. I can't get out. I can't get out. Think about it. Think how crazy this is. You know what rams do? Bam! They hit each other with the head. They're strong. And here's a ram caught in the bushes. Oh, I can't get out. Help me out. Help me out. That don't happen. That's like a fish drowning. It's too deep. It's too deep. How does a ram get caught in the bushes? It don't. You ever been to Africa? Anybody ever been to Africa? Y'all been to the zoo? Keep it simple. Animals in Africa and animals in the zoo are very different. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into this, but so I'll just get to the point. There was an elephant. We were on a safari in Africa. And the elephant was walking across the road in front of our car. It's a Jeep we were in. It was just like, you know. And there's this this wall of trees. This is true. Some other stuff I'm telling you is not true. This is true. There's a wall of trees, and the elephant just walked right into the trees, and literally the trees went like this, and just closed up behind them. Just went right in. You ever see birds, hawks fly really fast right into the tree and land? Animals do not get stuck. God did that. God provides. And God is going to test you, and he is going to provide for you what you can't provide for yourself. That's how it works. You go to work tomorrow, you say you want to see God do a miracle in your life, you go to work tomorrow and you see someone who God just tells you, go pray for them, and you feel this little sense that you need to pray for them, and you're like, I ain't going to pray for them. What are you scared of? Do it. God's going to provide for you the little bit of courage that you need to go over there and pray for them, and then the huge blessing that you get after you pray for them. Some of you guys are going to go to the mall for the first time this Christmas season, for the first time this year. Can I get amen, fellas? We avoid the mall. How many fellas avoid the mall? Okay, there you go. That's what I'm going to say, my fellas. You're going to be in the mall, and you're going to be walking through the mall, and you're going to see one of the fellas walking behind his woman with packages. And she's going to be out front. And he's going to be slaving behind us, slaving. And God's going to just break your heart for him. I was in the mall one day, and this is me because I don't like, I have to mentally prepare shopping. There was a guy in the mall. He was sitting on the bench. You know the benches they have at the mall? They're for us. Women don't sit out at the mall. They just go. He was at the mall. He was just like this. He had packages all around. He's just like. And I was like, hey, it's going to be okay, man. It's going to be okay. You're going to see that, and God's going to tell you, go encourage that brother. And you're going to say, that's kind of awkward, God. And he's going to say, yeah, but I want you to talk to him. And you're going to go talk to him, and he's going to look at you and say, you go to the rock or whatever, and you're going to be a blessing to him. Or he may just tell you you're crazy, leave him alone, he likes shopping. But the point is that when God tests you, you have to by faith say, yes, Lord, and watch God do what he does. And last one, this is the last one, it says in the last one, is that your performance will determine your future rewards. In other words, if you want to be blessed with big things, you have to be faithful with little things. If you want to be blessed with big things, you have to be faithful with little things. And I asked you a few minutes ago, how many of y'all want big miracles in your life? And you raise your hand, and God says, when you're faithful with the little ones, I'll give you a big one. But you're not going to go to the big one. You're not going straight from Pop Warner football to the NFL. That ain't going to happen. You're not going straight from Little League baseball to the major leagues. That ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You got to work your way up. So look what it says in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your only son, Blessings I will bless you. Multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea, which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies. And in your seed, the nations, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because you did this, I will do this. God saying, I have set aside all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places for you. I want to give them to you. But you have to do the little things. And one of the little things you have to do is surrender your life to me. Just like Abraham surrendered his son, I want you to take your own life and say, God, here I am. Take your own heart, your own dreams, your own passions, your own fears, and say, Lord, I'm surrendering them to you. That's what love is. When you fall in love with somebody, what do? You take your heart and you give it to them. It's an act of faith. So in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my life. I want to do what Abraham did to his son. I want to do that for myself. I want to surrender my life. Now, some of you have never asked Christ to be your Savior. You are going to say, or you have an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you to be saved. And some of you have already been saved, but you're holding back. You're just going through the motions. You pray the prayer, but basically you live your life your way. And I would challenge to you, whether you're saved or not. Because it's like getting married and then say you don't want to live with the person. We can get married, but you know, there's other women out there. You know, I mean, you're fine right now, but who's going to know what's going to happen in 10 years? I don't know. So I'm going to keep my options open, or you say it to your guy, whatever, and that's not being married. And some of you got saved like that. I'm going to get saved, but, you know, I really don't want to commit to church. I want to commit to service. I want to commit to giving. I want to commit to reading my Bible. I don't want everyone to know. That's not saved. That's not saved. That's deceived. God says, I want your life at the altar. I want you to give me your whole life. I want you to be willing to die to yourself, deny yourself. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. And we thank you that you know who we are. And we thank you that you laid your life down for us completely. But you also require us to lay our life down for you. If you know today is a day that you lay your life down for Christ, just as Abraham surrendered his son, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of humility. But it's a prayer telling God that you no longer belong to yourself, you belong to Him. Your dreams, your aspirations, your things, your fears, your addiction, your pain, it all belongs to Him. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that you love me and that you want my whole life. And I know you love me. And I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for me. And I believe he gave up his life for me. So Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I give up fighting you, resisting you. Take over my life. I lay it on the altar. Thank you, God. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you prayed that prayer, whether you're here in Point Loma or you're watching and you're in North County, if you're watching online, you have a button on your screen to click to let us know that you gave your life to Christ. But if you're in North County, there's going to be somebody there to pray with you. If you're here in Point Loma, we're going to pray with you here. But if you prayed that prayer, you just said, God, I give up, I surrender, I'm all yours. So right now, if you prayed that prayer, I just want you right now to stand up in your seat and acknowledge your faith in God and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you.